This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
Power Business presents Conversations with Alan Gray about long-term wealth. Alan Gray, long-term investing.
Alan Gray is an authorized financial services provider.
With markets as volatile as they've been for basically the past decade, achieving any success in the investment market seems a gambler's game. So what role does luck actually play in achieving investment success? In our sponsored Alan Gray segment, we talk to Maria Konnikova, New York Times bestselling author, psychologist, and professional poker player, and speaker at this year's Alan Gray Investment Summit. I think it's happening in July. Evening, Maria.
Good evening to you.
Now, what is the number one skill that you believe investors need to be successful?
You know, it's always difficult to answer and say what the number one skill is, because investing is obviously incredibly complex, just like poker. And so you need a lot of different skills to succeed. But I think that if I had to pick one, it would be the ability to stay intellectually humble and learn from the environment. Because so many people, they attain huge amounts of success, and then they become overconfident, and they stop taking feedback, and then they start making mistakes. And so I think having that humility to understand that, you know what, I can be very good, but the markets are unpredictable, and I can't control everything, and let me do my best to actually take external feedback and learn from it. I think that's what distinguishes a good investor from someone who can be great over the long term.
I mean, what is the role of trust, emotion, and I guess intelligence when assessing risk in investing?
You know, I like to think of it the way that one would approach journalism, which you and I are both involved in. And I think that's, you know, that adage that we hear over and over, but I think it's an incredibly powerful one, which is why we hear it so often, which is trust but verify, right? So I think that you can't, it takes so much effort to just distrust everything from the get-go.
Yeah.
So I think that trust is a very important foundation of relationships between people, of basically trying to figure out where you're going to invest and how you're going to invest. That said, you can't have blind trust in either people or institutions or stories. And I think that this is actually incredibly important, because as investors, people evaluate stories. Ultimately, even if they don't realize they're doing it, they evaluate the story of the company, the story of the founders, the story of the product, the story of whatever it is they're investing in. And stories are something that can really circumvent logic and circumvent skepticism and circumvent a lot of the things that would normally be red flags. And there's a lot of psychological work on this, that when we're in a storytelling environment, we actually end up not spotting some logical inconsistencies. We end up being much more taken in by the narrative than we should be. And so I think that while it's important to trust at the beginning, I think it's important to really do your homework and to be smart about what you trust. And the moment you really want to believe something is a good investment, I think that that's when you really need to verify the hardest, and when you need to poke holes in your own story. Because when we want to believe something is true, it's much easier to believe it. So I think that that is incredibly important. Because that way we're going to be able to use logic rather than emotion in making our decisions.
Just a reminder to Power listeners, we're speaking to Maria Konnikova from New York on achieving some sort of investment success. Now, you have spoken about how luck defines success. What is the role of luck in any investor's success?
You know, I think that people tend to underestimate the role of luck, because it's very easy to take responsibility for things that go your way. And if you've achieved any sort of success in investing, it's very easy to say, oh, I'm a really talented investor. I'm really good at this. That's why I'm successful. And sure, that's part of it. But you also got incredibly lucky, because ultimately, markets are a stochastic environment. They're an environment that's uncertain. They're an environment where there are lots of risks, and you cannot predict what's going to happen. No matter how good you are, no matter how solid your algorithms are, no matter how much data you have, you cannot predict the future. That's the nature of it. And markets, by their very nature, are uncertain. And so I think that a lot of people underestimate just how important it is to get lucky. So you need to be good, but you also need to be lucky. You need things to go your way. And they also underestimate how important bad luck can be. So there might be another investor out there who's just as talented as you are, but something really nasty happened early on in his or her career, and they ended up being wrong about something, even though all the data said that they should have been right, and it cost a company a lot of money, and they were fired, or, you know, they lost confidence, or whatever it is. And so now, at this stage in their career, they're in a very different place from you, because they got unlucky at a very pivotal point, and their career went in a totally different trajectory. So what I would say is, thank luck, and never underestimate how important it is in investing, because no matter how good you are, you will never, ever be able to control the stock market or any of your investments.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, how does control play a part in long-term wealth creation?
Yeah, that's kind of the flip side of the luck question. And I think that in my mind, actually, the most important thing is realizing what you can and can't control, and realizing that one of the things you can control is your emotions and your reactions to things. And one of the ways in which people often go wrong, and in which investors often go wrong, is they become emotional. And they don't even acknowledge that they're becoming emotional. They say, oh, no, I'm not selling this because everyone is selling and I'm panicking. I'm selling because it's a good decision to sell right now. Well, what I would say is potentially that's true, but it also might be just a justification of something that's really an emotional decision. Yeah. And we can control that. We can control our reactions, and we can control the process through which we make decisions. So I would say have as rigid a process as possible so that you actually have check marks, so that you actually have a list that you have to go through whenever you're making an important investment decision. And that way, I think that can protect you a little bit from the emotion that's going to come up no matter what, and that is sometimes incredibly difficult to control. So I think self-control, in a way, is the most important thing, because you can control yourself. You can't control the environment, and you need to understand that.
I mean, how do you avoid being emotional? I mean, there's so many things in this day, in this modern day, that stirs up our emotions. I mean, social media and the like, it's kind of loud out there, just living in this modern age.
It is. It's incredibly loud. And one of the things that I like to stress is that the world is never going to quiet down for you. That's just not going to happen. And so waiting for it to quiet down is just a bad strategy. And so what you need to do is learn to quiet your own mind. So I have some practical suggestions for that.
Please, bring.
For instance, I practice mindfulness meditation every single morning. And I actually think that this is something that a lot of investors and a lot of just human beings, period, can learn a lot from. And it sounds scary. It sounds like, oh my God, you know, I'm going to have to sit down and chant Om and do all these things. No. You don't have to do any of that. You don't even have to sit down. You can do mindfulness meditation in any position whatsoever. All it means is learning how to bring your attention to the present moment. So I would say start with 5 minutes a day, then work your way up to 10 minutes a day. And there's data that show that as little as 10 minutes a day of just focusing on your breath, just the ins and outs of your breath, learning to clear your mind and not punishing yourself when you're unable to, just saying, oh, okay, you know, I messed up. My mind's drifting. Let me go back to my breath. But as little as 10 minutes a day has huge benefits on your concentration, on your well-being, on your decision-making ability, on your creativity, on your ability to manage the loudness around you. So what I say is the world's never quieting down, so try to learn to quiet yourself.
So create a wusa moment, as it were, for yourself, right? Every day.
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely.
Can you share some of your insights on what you have learned from like poker playing that can be, I guess, applied to investing? Or was it a bit of a gambler's game in a sense, investing?
Absolutely. I mean, I think that investing is a lot like poker. People would like to think that they have more control than they actually do in both cases. But in poker, it's very clear that you don't, because you can make the best decision that you possibly can based on the information you have at any given moment. But that information is necessarily incomplete, because you don't know what cards your opponents hold, and they don't know what cards you hold. And you don't know what cards are coming. You can make some sort of guesses based on what's out there, based on how people are acting, but you have no idea what's still to come in the deck. So the number one lesson that I think you can take from that to investing is that investing, like poker, is also a game of incomplete information, and you also have no idea what cards are going to come. And so what you can do is calculate, based on the information you have at the moment, what is the best possible decision you can make, and then let the cards fall how they may. The outcome might go your way, but you actually might get unlucky and it might go against you. As long as you kind of get your money in good, and I think that that concept applies in both investing and in poker, you can't blame yourself, and no one should blame you, because you did the best you could, and then the outcome went against you, but that's not your fault. You can't be outcome-oriented, and we often evaluate decisions based on the outcome. We look at what happened, and we say, oh, that was a good decision. Well, no, sometimes it was actually a really, really bad decision, and you got lucky. And sometimes you made a really good decision, and you got unlucky. And in poker, you have to be able to separate those two. Otherwise, you're going to be a horrible poker player. And in investing, there's so much noise, there's so much feedback that it's often easy to forget and to focus on the outcome and to use that as the decision criterion, but it can't be. So you have to remember, what did I know? Did I make the best decision I could? And then not blame yourself for what happened if it went against you. And I think that that's going to make you a much better decision maker, and that's going to really improve the quality of your investments over the long term.
I mean, as a psychologist, why do you enjoy poker so much?
I think for me, poker has been a beautiful way of figuring out how the biases that I've studied for years in the laboratory actually operate in the real world and what we can do to correct them. Poker is the first learning environment that I've ever been in where it actually teaches people probabilistic thinking correctly, because we learn, our brains learn from experience and not from descriptions. This is what Daniel Kahneman got his Nobel Prize for when he looked at how we kind of look at risks and probabilities and how difficult it is for our minds to actually wrap themselves around some of these notions. And that you can tell people all day long, you can yell at them until you're hoarse, yeah, about the fact that, hey, you don't understand risk. Hey, you're being loss averse. You're being risk averse. You're being too risk seeking. All of these different biases that happen in our decision making, it's not going to matter. They're still going to make those mistakes. Kahneman said he himself still makes those mistakes. They're so deeply ingrained in human psychology. But poker actually gets around those, because you're learning through experience, and you're learning, you know, what does 10% feel like? What does 15% feel like? Because you're constantly sampling, and you have to take that feedback into account. So as a psychologist, what has fascinated me the most was just the beauty of this game in teaching our minds how to overcome some of the stickiest biases that exist.
Now, how can interested listeners find out more about this Alan Gray Investment Summit that you're attending in July?
There's a website that they can go to, and it's just investmentsummit.co.za. And on that website, you can look at the agenda, you can buy tickets, and you can see a lot of different information about the speakers and about what's going to be going on.
All right. Thank you very much for your time all the way from New York. Hopefully we'll see you in a couple of months.
Yes, I look forward to it. Thank you so much.
All right. That was Maria Konnikova, psychologist, author, professional poker player, and the keynote speaker at this year's Alan Gray Investment Summit. The time now is just heading to 7 o'clock, time for Power News.
Talking long-term wealth creation on Power Business, brought to you by Alan Gray, long-term investing.
Alan Gray is an authorized financial services provider.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.